This is VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
That's what I always say. You always follow the money.
Yeah. This is Follow the Money with Mitch Moss and Pauly Howard on VSiN.
Here we go. It is Follow the Money on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Mitch Moss along with Pauly Howard. We're live in downtown Vegas from the Circa Resort and Casino. Busy three-hour program light up today. First of all, hope everybody had a great couple of days, Christmas Eve and then Christmas yesterday. And a lot of sports, obviously, to kick around and a busy week 17 to dive into as well. Great guest today on the program, Mee O'Brien, who's covered the Jacksonville Jaguars in Jacksonville for many, many years on the program in 30 minutes. John Accorsi, one of nine survivors left at Circa Survivor in the contest here for $18 million, is going to join us in an hour. And Brad Powers, professional bettor on bowl games and the quarterfinals coming up in about 90 minutes. How was your day yesterday, Pauly?
All right, good. Good. You?
Not too bad.
All right. Happy New Year.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Merry Christmas to you.
You have some ham with ketchup?
My wife made lamb.
Oh!
And I've always been like a hit or miss guy with lamb. Best lamb I've ever had my entire life.
All right.
Phenomenal.
Awesome.
And this is turning into like Thanksgiving Day leftovers. Give me the leftovers, man. Inject it right into my veins. Can't get enough. So we do have, again, we're going to react to a lot of what happened yesterday. But now the news in the NFL, a couple things to begin the show. So they flexed this game tomorrow night primetime in Green Bay, thinking that this was going to be an absolute doozy of a contest and the ratings were going to be off the charts. It's the NFL Saturday night. Sure, they're still going to be good. But instead of Lamar Jackson against Jordan Love, we're going to get Huntley versus Willis.
Yeah.
Love has been ruled out. That's official.
Yeah. Well, no reason to play him anyways as you clinched a playoff spot.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll see how Huntley does for Baltimore with their season on the line impacts the Steeler game as well and what they do. And that has moved. That's Cleveland down to three. Good breakdown from McKay when he was in here as well. But the season from hell for Baltimore, and Green Bay still sneaks in there after their issues and all their injuries. So likely to be the seventh seed, but I know you like him a lot and he's played well when he's been in there. Tip of the cap to LaFleur about how good he's looked. And we'll see if they can keep Henry on the field for much of the game for Baltimore, if they can maybe show up and win this one.
So this point spread has kind of been all over the map, now settling in at the moment around 3.5, pretty much across the board, the way it appears on the screen anyway. Total is at 38.5. I'm okay with Willis. I really am. Huntley, I would have preferred the version of him 2 or 3 years ago, probably. But in a do or die game, not going to get either one of those guys. And you're right. Like, what does it really mean for Green Bay now that the Lions have been eliminated from the playoffs and they're going to be in? And I think this is a what could have been season for both these teams, but specifically Green Bay, because they were the injury monster just would not stop around this team. It's crushed them overall. And then you have that. And what's going on out here between the Raiders and the Giants when they play one of two late games on Sunday afternoon? That's it. It's that game at the same time as the Bills and the Eagles. Who's going to play in this game? Max Crosby, now the latest to be ruled out here for the Raiders. The team made the decision. This is on the heels of them shutting down Brock Bowers for the season yesterday, placing him on IR.
Yeah.
And I was thinking when the news first came out today that both Evan Neal and Andrew Thomas on the offensive line, certainly Thomas now ruled out for the Giants, I'm like, well, this is going to be a huge game for Max Crosby. I want to bet him to dominate and maybe have a couple of sacks in the contest. But now they're telling us that he's been hurt since October. I mean, the BS is getting pretty deep out here in Las Vegas between these two teams and this game anyway.
I like the Giants, but this is the worst game in NFL history. It's 2-13 against 2-13, and the first time ever both teams come in on a 9-game losing streak. The Raiders have been in this spot many times and go out and win for whatever reason and blow it. But the Giants were in this position last year and decided to win and upset the Colts with Locke. But the Raiders are coming off a strong performance where they hung in the game and almost pulled a huge upset. The Giants are off an embarrassing performance where, for whatever reason, they didn't throw the ball until late in the second half. But I think the Giants, now the favorite, is the right play, and I think the Giants will win. And can the Raiders then lay down against Kansas City and lock in the number one pick?
I think
they can.
I think the angle here, clearly nobody wants to play in this game. I think the angle here is betting the under.
Oh, boy, it could be turnovers.
I did that right before the show started.
Yeah, well, how are they going to move it without Bowers? Can they get Genty going? He played well last week, but...
Well, plus we have no idea what the game plan is going to be for the Giants.
Yeah, right.
That was a mess last week.
Yeah, I think you at least have to try here after what they did last week. So I would.
Yeah, but they, who wants to win it though?
Game. Yeah,
they're both shutting down.
I know. Someone's got to win the game though, Mitch.
Paul,
I take the Giants.
Here's the no. I get that, but why does there have to be points? Why does there have to be a touchdown? Only one book has it up right now. No touchdowns, 100-1.
Yeah, I don't think it's. I don't think it's going to be that egregious. What could happen with the tank? I just think the Giants can move the ball finally on offense, and they can actually try. Unless that nonsense last week as well.
Again, go back 3 weeks ago. If you would have told me, hey, the Giants are going to be a pick'em, knowing what we knew at that time, they'd be a pick'em or a 1-point favorite, I'd be like, oh my God, this is clearly all about the Giants in this game.
Yeah.
Now I have no idea what to make of it.
We start with a bang tomorrow. I mean, this game tomorrow is awesome. If the Chargers win, they play the Broncos on the road for the division. They've won 7 of 8. They've been on fire. If the Texans win, they're in. If they lose, they have to get a Colts loss on Sunday. Let me read this to you. This is good, and I like the Chargers. They asked Herbert about this, and it still haunts me, and I think about it. No one felt worse than I did after that game. It's important to move forward and realize what happened, but it'd be crazy of me not to deny the truth and live in the reality where if I tried to block it out, I don't think that's doing any good. He was the first player in history to throw more interceptions in a playoff game than did in the regular season. 4 picks, a pick six, and they were blown out in the playoff loss. Numerous guys have said they've had this circled, and this is payback for the Chargers tomorrow afternoon against the Texans. And they're up to 2 now.
You love to hear that, don't you?
Oh, what great quotes. Great quotes. I mean, it's so haunting after how bad he played. Players, Herbert, and also it's the ultimate kicking matchup, too, with Dicker against Herbert, Dicker against Fairbairn.
Right.
And the best trend going in sports, 25-3 overrun. 1.5 made field goals for Fairbairn. He's $1.70 right now at Caesars to go over 1.5.
Well, certainly, and if the price is right, you're going to be playing both kickers to have a 33-plus yard field goal in this game as well, which will be probably pushing $2 at the Westgate.
It's 180.
Is it 180?
You can go 35 yards at $1.40 at Caesars. You want to do that.
We do have to remember that, again, when this Chargers team recently played Philadelphia on that Monday night game, he was sacked 7 times.
Yep.
Now, they played a couple of games since, but against this front now for the Texans, man, that's going to be this is another one where it's 39.5. I understand that, but.
Yeah, I'm with you on the under. Like 16, if you're going that direction.
16, 13, something like that.
Yep. Number one defense against number 3 total defense. And you're right. Can they protect them? Because they are last in the league at win rate with the offensive line, pass block win rate. So that's the question number one. Can they hold up and protect them? And I don't know. And I have to see a better performance out of Stroud, too.
No doubt.
After how bad he played.
I think this is going to be a dream come true for you, potentially, with the kickers. And for those books that offer, like, in fact, the more we talk about it here, you can probably find, like, combined field goals made in the game. Ladder that, go 4.5, maybe even 5.5.
I was disappointed with what I saw.
Oh, you were?
Very disappointed. What do you think each team to make 4 field goals is?
Each team to make 4 field
each
goals?
Each team, 4 field goals.
That's
two of the best of all time here.
That's got to be okay, so now you're asking me, so I'm going to come down quite a bit.
Yeah, because I'm disappointed. You know,
it's got to be at least 10-1, 15-1.
It's 10-1.
Yeah, yeah, I was going to say.
Come on. You know how hard that is?
Yeah, that's very difficult.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But anything's possible, so that was right with how many that could be. We had that Dallas-Detroit game that was, what, 9, I
nine,
think,
I
in
think.
That game? Right.
Right. And Aubrey missed one yesterday. I know it was from 58, but.
Right.
It doesn't matter. Whenever he misses, it's going to catch you by surprise. So if the Chargers win, like you said, they're alive to win the division. What do we make of the Denver Broncos at this point?
I agree with the tweets. The worst 13-3 team in NFL history. No doubt about it. I mean, you got a third string quarterback making his first start. Your life and death to win that game. You should have lost to the Jets in London. You should have could have lost to the Raiders. Not once. Well, the second one was close, but the field goal meaningless, we thought. The Thursday night game. With the Raider performance, they had so many other. They almost lost to the Titans to start the season.
Easily could have lost to the Commanders not that long ago.
Yeah. Now, do they get the one seed? Right. Do they get the one seed? But it's just there's just something missing from this team offensively, and you don't know what Bo Nix you're going to get. Now, the comeback is the defense is nasty, and you had the punt return, the bogus PI call, and the Nix interception. But I'm still worried about Peyton and the play calling. I mean, I don't know what Chris Jones is doing. They're not going to run a play there.
Right.
Or at least don't bail him out. That's silly. You're a veteran. Watch the ball. But it's also read the room, Peyton, where Kansas City's not going to score unless you hand them points or make a mistake. and they can't move the ball, and you come out throwing on first and second and third down when you're backed up. And on third down, they had the interception that led to the touchdown.
Let's not forget they also were getting blasted in the fourth quarter at home to the Giants.
That's another good
one. And it was a miracle to come back and win that game. Put it this way. I don't think there's going to be a single team in the AFC intimidated to go to Denver and play in the playoffs. Not a single team. You think?
Well, it's huge if the Chargers can win out. I mean, imagine Denver blows this division. That would be an incredible story and a great job by Harbaugh.
Honestly, a team like Pittsburgh, they won't be intimidated to go to Denver. You think Josh Allen's going to be shaking in his boots? Jacksonville just went there and killed them 2 weeks ago.
Yep.
You think that's going to be, or last week, you think they're going to like be shaking on that flight to Denver? Oh my God, what are we going to do against this defense? Of course not. They're going to be ultra confident. This team can be had, no question.
How about 2 8-minute drives that result in field goals? I mean, you go by what, 98? They showed it on the screen. Last time that happened with the Broncos, 1998.
Yeah.
You have 8-minute, 9-minute drives and you can't punch it in.
Mm-hmm.
And then the decision there to throw 3rd and 1, it's just bizarre play calling by Peyton all season long.
Yeah. How about the top 2 seeds in the AFC if it lands Denver and New England? I don't think anybody's going to be intimidated to play either one of those teams. Great stories with both of them.
Yeah.
New England's schedule, obviously, comes into play here. It's the season to come together over your holiday favorites at Starbucks. Warm up with a creamy caramel brulee latte. Had one of those yesterday. Absolutely delicious. Get festive with an iced gingerbread chai or share a velvety peppermint mocha. And yes, I did go to Starbucks on Christmas Day. Place was absolutely swarming. Together is the best place to be at Starbucks. NBA reaction up next. It appears as if the champs have one glaring issue. This is Follow the Money on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
So you're listening to this podcast because you want an edge. But what if I told you you're only halfway there? You've got the mindset. Now it's time to get the toolkit to match. Here's the thing. Pro bettors spend thousands on data and tools, but what they don't want you to know is you can get the same edge for a fraction of the cost with VSiN Pro. With VSiN Pro, you get access to expert picks, public betting data, prop projections, powerful tools, analytics, and more. Tap the link in the description and see why thousands of bettors are already using VSiN Pro to cash more bets.
This is Follow the Money on VSiN.
Quite the day in the association yesterday as well on Christmas Day. Biggest storyline, Joker, obviously, with that kind of a triple-double is absolutely crazy. The Lakers getting pounded, that's nice. But what's going on now with Oklahoma City, specifically against the Spurs? Ugly. So they are now, remember, this turned into, they were like favorites to win 70 games. The number got all the way down to like 4-1 to win the most games of all time, 74. They've now lost 4 of 6. They're plus 174 at FanDuel to win 70-plus games now. Bottom 10 offense over the last 2 weeks and 3 of those games against the Spurs. And they were manhandled yesterday against San Antonio. This is with Wemby coming off the bench. I mean, if they meet in the playoffs,
yeah,
the entire narrative is going to be what happened in the regular season. Yeah, with the Spurs doing whatever they wanted, essentially, to this team.
Well, the bench has let them down. And this defensive game plan of leaving Caruso wide open, who was 2 of 12 from 3 and hit one late. He was awful. The points in the paint going back the last couple of games. So still, you can say they're a great team. They just have a San Antonio problem and how the Spurs match up against them. And Barnes has played well. He went over his prop that we talked about again with the threes. Fox has been great. Castle, Harper. But I love this bringing Wemby off the bench and the depth that this team has. And suddenly talking about the depth, the bench has let OKC down. So what they've done here to take them out all the 3 times, incredible performance by the Spurs, and I don't mind futures on San Antonio. Because I mean, if that could be your semifinal matchup or even your matchup in the finals, I mean, you would have to like San Antonio with how they've dominated OKC. That was on the road what they did and held them to 42 second-half points. Incredible performance.
And again, money on Oklahoma City before tip time.
Yeah.
Drove it all the way up. The highest I saw was 10.5. I think that's where it closed at a bunch of spots.
So you assume there'd be revenge after what happened the previous night, but that didn't happen.
So, I when it was like, okay, Oklahoma City's not only not making a run, but it was getting uglier and the largest lead was expanding by like every possession, I started to shop around for numbers on the Spurs just to win the West to see what it was like. Most books out here in Las Vegas anyway were around 8, maybe 9 to 1 on the Spurs to win the West.
Mm-hmm.
Boyd / FanDuel. Again, this is second half. They are pounding Oklahoma City for the third time in 2 weeks. They had 18 to 1. 18 to 1 to win the West, 20 to 1 to win the title. Because you figure that it's going to be an absolute gauntlet to come out of the West. Although beating a team like the Knicks is going to be, you know.
Well, the Knicks got them in a cup, yeah.
For sure. That's not going to be an easy thing to do.
Knicks are good.
So I had to pound 18 to 1.
Yeah.
18 to 1 to win the West? I wish we would have been live on the air yesterday to talk about that, because now that number's been wiped out and they're down below 10 to 1.
Yeah, good number.
But if you still happen to see like a rogue book out there with anything, I would say, Paul, what, 10, 12 to 1?
Yeah.
Absolutely still worth a bet.
Mm-hmm.
And?
No doubt, because they continue to get better and better every game and every week. And these young guys are really playing well and they're well coached. And you got the freak, the alien, who can change a game.
So a lot of books also offer odds on NBA Finals MVP. Wemby is either the fourth or the fifth shot on the board. He's like 13 or 14 to 1 to win finals. Because you figure if they actually get it and they win it, who else is going to win it? They have other candidates, obviously. But there's also this. Like, Wemby's not going to play 65 games, though, right?
No.
I bring that up in terms of like qualifying. The angle would be Defensive Player of the Year. However, how long are they going to keep him coming off the bench?
Mm-hmm.
Would you take a massive number on Wemby to be Sixth Man of the Year? If this continues to be a thing, yeah, I'm sure he's not even offered on that. I just thought about it right now when we're live on the air. I mean, looked.
Well, we're not even to January, and you wonder if it's only down to two guys for MVP.
It has to. Well,
that's the other thing. I mean, what SGA does every single night, but then while people went to bed, Joker had 56, 16, and 15. You got to be kidding. I mean, he's just the best player in the world. He's like Michael Jordan again. He should win it every year. 56, 16, and 15 in one of the craziest games. They were up 12. With 4 minutes left, it goes to overtime. Minnesota led by 9 in overtime.
Mm-hmm.
Denver wins the game.
Sure.
I mean, everything you wanted in that game. Nuts. He's plus 120 to win the MVP at DK.
So he is now fifth in the league in scoring. He's also first in rebounds per game, and he leads the league in assists.
Yeah.
What?
Carrying him. The on-off numbers, again, are historic.
Yes.
Just incredible. They've had injuries, and they can't defend, and still they win games, and we'll see what their record's going to be when it's all said and done, if they can get a top three, top four seed.
I get it. SGA is absolutely phenomenal. I mean, if Joker plays 80 games, would have 75 games.
Got to be Joker.
It has to be. She should have won it last year as well.
Yep.
And there's also what happened with the Lakers. And now, based on what happened, you're going to hear from J.J. Redick, their head coach, coming up here in a second. But based on what happened in that game, and they were taken out by the Rockets, but the reaction from NBA media after that was they have to make some trades, and they will make some trades before the deadline. I don't know what it's going to be. I don't know who they're going to add. But it's not going well right now. And this is, like, anybody watching can tell that there are issues with this team, including their head coach, J.J. Redick, again, who was not happy afterwards.
Prove all these things when you can't practice enough.
Well, we practice them all the time. It's not, again, it goes back to what I said the other night. It's a matter of making the choice. And too often we have guys that don't want to make that choice. And it's pretty consistent who those guys are. And so Saturday's practice, I told the guys, it's going to be uncomfortable. The meeting is going to be uncomfortable. I'm not doing another 53 games like this.
Very good.
Yep.
Make them run till they puke. I think they have a good team, a good roster, rather. He talks about effort and lack of defense, and that's what happened. They were having a great season, and they were a fun story. They got blasted by the Spurs at home when they thought they were coming out here to play OKC in the Cup. That happens. They're a great team. And then this three-game losing streak where you've had injuries. Reeves has been out. Luka left with an injury. You're trying to get LeBron back in and work him in the mix. But they've had back-to-back-to-back no-shows. And you're supposed to get a good effort at home on Christmas after getting blasted in Phoenix, and he called you out, and it didn't work. So now he calls you out again, and that's a telling comment about it's the same guys.
Right.
So Hachimura couldn't make a shot, couldn't defend. Houston got whatever they wanted. And to get run out in back-to-back-to-back games certainly is disappointing. And the other thing that's worth pointing out, it's set up for them every year because the league backloads their schedule because you want to see the Laker games in prime time against the great opponents once the football season has ended. So they're going to have some tough games coming up. So while you look and say, well, 19-10, not that bad, keep in mind who they've played up to this point.
So who would be the guy that would say adios to if they were to make a big trade? They're not trading LeBron. They're not going to trade Luka. So it comes down to, would it be Reeves?
No, you can't trade him. You're going to give him a ton of money.
They're going to get rid of Ayton?
Yeah. I don't know. What are you going to get for him? There'll be another organization that punts on him.
I know. I can't imagine you get much.
I don't think you can do anything. I just think you run it back and say, this is our team.
This is who we are.
Pretty good roster. And this is, we just got to, if it's lack of motivation and defense and effort, then that can be fixed.
It can.
But you also have to get healthy too. And you've had Reeves and Luka banged up. The other thing, I don't think you can make a case. How many games are they going to win? So even if Luka averages 36-9-9, I mean, him being the third choice, I don't think they're going to get enough wins, especially when you're comparing him to Joker in SGA.
Oh, yeah, that's fair. We also have a bowl game kicking off they're calling it a 4:30 Eastern kickoff time, 1:30 out here. We'll see how close it's going to be. But it's Minnesota taking on New Mexico in the Rate Bowl that we have. The big storyline here, Paulie, is that PJ Fleck, of course, 6-0 in bowl games straight up. 5-1 ATS. Now, I do agree with the line move with the total. It has dropped from 40, I think it was as high as 49.5, now to 44. It was 43.5 earlier today. And Minnesota's down to a 1.5-point favorite as well. They're not a very good football team overall. I don't know what you want to say about New Mexico. Great story with Eck.
Good story.
Yeah.
Yep.
9-3 overall.
Yep.
But how much stock I think this is probably something here that Fleck is very proud of, and he wants the unbeaten streak to continue.
Well, it's like Whittingham all those years at Utah with his incredible bowl record.
Right.
So you want to back the Gophers? I think that's a good angle with Fleck. How about the Whittingham news? This came out of nowhere. I thought he was just going to ride off into the sunset, and that's it. And now Michigan, Whittingham going to Michigan.
Yeah, I did not see this one coming.
Wow.
What do you make of it?
I got to see what Brad Powers says, because there were concerns. Brad Powers was here and whispers that he had shut it down the last couple of years at Utah.
Well, I think
had a foot out the door.
It looked like that anyway.
Yes.
Right. That goes back at least, as you said, at least 2 years ago.
He did a good job this year, though. They had a good team.
Maybe this will be like a B12 shot for him as well.
Yeah.
I mean, if Whittingham was...
You can't half-ass it, though.
Oh, no.
He can't come in and half-ass it. This is Michigan now.
If this was a 40-year-old Kyle Whittingham taking the Michigan job, he'd be like, oh, my God, that's a home run hire.
Yeah.
But now, wow.
I love the fit, though, in terms of how he plays and how he wants to run the ball and play defense and field position. And he's old school Big Ten football.
Well, if he can
bring a great fit to me,
if he can bring a sustained Utah-esque culture to Michigan, yeah, for like 3 or 4 years, that's probably going to be a really good thing. There is a correlated play to consider tying in the Texans and the Jaguars this weekend. We'll tell you those scenarios based on the Texans-Chargers result. Next year on Follow the Money, it's VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
This is Follow the Money on VSiN.
So, Paulie, here is your scenario, or both scenarios, with the Texans game tomorrow and also the Colts-Jags on Sunday. If the Texans win Saturday, the Colts are eliminated. They would have nothing to play for on Sunday. If the Chargers win, the Colts would still be alive. But if the Chargers win, obviously, that would help out Jacksonville, give them a little bit of a cushion there at the very top of their division against Houston. And to discuss it a little bit further here, Mia O'Brien joins the program, ESPN Radio in Jacksonville, at Mia O'Brien on Twitter, and she's on the Progressive Guest Line. Merry Christmas, Mia. Thanks for the time today. How are you?
Merry Christmas. Appreciate hopping on with you guys on December the 26th. Nowhere else you'd rather be.
Yes, well said. So, under either one of those scenarios, my guess is Jacksonville's not going to take it easy, right? If they have the cushion over Houston or the Colts are eliminated, they're like pedal to the metal right now. Let's take care of business over the last 2 weeks, right?
Yes, because they have not, while they have clinched a playoff spot, they have not clinched home field opportunities to host during the postseason. So they still need to win the division crown in order to host at least one home playoff game. And of course, if they win out and they get some help from, oh boy, the Jets and the Patriots up in New England over the weekend, or I guess up at MetLife, I forget where that game is exactly. But point being, if the Patriots lose one more game to either the Jets or the Dolphins, and the Broncos lose to the Chargers, in addition to the Chargers beating the Texans, then the Jaguars would also earn the number one overall seed in the AFC. So still a whole heck of a lot to play for. They want to host throughout the postseason in Duval County.
All right. So what's been the biggest difference here? Is it as easy as saying Liam Cohn's a first-year coach and he deserves all the credit in the world? Because as I was telling you in the break, like it's wide open this year, but I'm convinced this team can absolutely win the AFC. What's been the biggest reason for the turnaround here?
Yeah, I mean, he's the logical finger to point at in that direction. We were told in the offseason that this roster had a lot of thermometers. They had a lot of guys who, if you could just raise the temperature around them, create a growth mindset mentality, you would see different results than the four wins from Doug Peterson's final campaign in Jacksonville. And of course, a 2-10 mark in one possession ball games. I brought it up to you guys as I came on the air during the break, but ultimately what's most impressive to me for Liam Cohen in year one is that the Jaguars have not one, not two, not three. It is, I believe, if I'm looking at this right now to make sure I'm saying the right stat to you guys, at the very least it's five wins by two possessions or more comparatively to the Denver Broncos currently in the one seed in the AFC, who, as we heard last night, now 11-0 in one possession games. They're kind of the Kansas City Chiefs of 2024 reincarnated here in 2025. That's not the case with the Big Cats. The Jaguars have continued to just pummel teams, especially since their bye week and especially since the acquisition of Jakobi Meyers from the Las Vegas Raiders at the trade deadline.
Oh, great move. You know, sometimes a loss can help. As Mike McDonald said, it was a wake-up call for the defense and the team when they lost at home to Tampa. How about that performance in London when they got blasted 35-7 by the Rams? Since then, they've won 7 of 8, and the loss was the Mills meltdown in Houston.
I was going to say, I'll take it one step further. I think that the Rams game was certainly a wake-up call, but at least in talking to players in the locker room leading into that trip to the UK, you could sense a team that was tired, that needed a break. That's very different than the team that came back from Houston after that disappointing loss, that blown lead in the third quarter to Davis Mills you alluded to. That has become the rallying cry of this team, especially in the fourth quarter of ball games, to not take your foot off the pedal, that the game is not won until the clock hits double zeros. And that has been, whenever there's been moments of adversity, the game that is brought up, not the 35-7 loss to the Los Angeles Rams. It's that loss to their AFC South rivals, who as of right now are just as much alive for the AFC South crown as the Jacksonville Jaguars are, even if the Big Cats have one game ahead of them in the standings.
So during that playoff run, was it 2022?
Yes, 22 is the playoff run.
There was a stretch where Trevor Lawrence was winning a lot of people over and playing unbelievable football for him, the best of his career. But I would actually think, and you've covered him the whole time here,
yes,
he's in the middle of the best football he's played ever, right, to date at the pro level.
Yes.
And you mentioned Jakobi Meyers. Was that kind of where it just started to flip for him?
I think that Trevor was already growing more accustomed to Liam Cohen's scheme. It wasn't just a matter of learning his fourth offensive scheme in the past five seasons, if we want to go all the way back to Clemson. And I'm not even including interims and Press Taylor taking over play calling for Doug Peterson and how the offense shifted under Taylor being the play caller the last two seasons. I think that even more than just the Jakobi Meyers acquisition and the scheme change, it was that Trevor went to Liam Cohen early when he arrived in Jacksonville in January and said, I want to change my footwork. And there's other nuances of my actual physical performance that I need to change, that I wanted to change in years past, and it just never came to fruition. And so I've likened it, and you can take the analogy as it is, I've likened it to Tiger Woods when he made the decision after winning the 1997 Masters tournament to adjust his swing, accepting that for 18 months he may not win a single tournament, but when he came out on the other side of it, he would win the Tiger Slam. Now, Trevor Lawrence has not won the Tiger Slam, to be clear. But at the same time, I think you're already starting to see way earlier than many of the quarterback gurus around the National Football League who I spoke with said we'd expect to see. You're starting to see the fruits of the labor of that shift that he had in his actual mechanics, let alone the offensive scheme, which, yes, absolutely benefits from the acquisition of Meyers from the Las Vegas Raiders. He is a Los Angeles Rams wide receiver without ever having played for Sean McVay. When it comes to the dirty work underneath, those in-breaking routes, a high catch rate, he checks every single box. He's a pro's pro. My favorite anecdote with Jakobi is that when he first arrived in Jacksonville, I asked him who he was most excited to play with. And he said, Tim Patrick. the number five wide receiver for the Jags. Of course, he's been around the league and is also regarded as a pro's pro who can play all three wide receiver positions and does everything the right way. And now you've got two pro's pros in that room to allow Brian Thomas Jr. to not necessarily be the focal point of this offense, still be an important mechanism, but at the same time, take some of the pressure off of the former first rounder.
Do you expect them to move the ball and get what they want on Sunday with this great run that Lawrence has been in? And you see that they get Sauce back, no Buckner, but how the Colts have struggled defensively and how bad they looked Monday night.
Yeah, I expect the Jaguars to really place yet again another emphasis on running the football, something they really haven't done great as of late. They've run it enough to be a multiple, you know, to be an offense that can threaten you through the air and on the ground, but they haven't reached that apex of that 190 plus rushing yards like they did against the Los Angeles Chargers back in November in quite some time. And so that has really been a point of emphasis from Liam Cohen and the coaching staff throughout the course of the week. And I think they're going to be able to run on this Colts defense that, while I know Lou Anarumo is going to shore things up from Monday night, it kind of looked like, with all due respect to Gus Bradley, it kind of looks like the Gus defense, the cover three we saw the last few years when the Jaguars and Colts squared off. And when you would see those soft spots in the zone that Trevor Lawrence was really able to capitalize on. If you go back through, boys, Trevor Lawrence, statistically speaking, EPA per play, if you go through the top 10 games of his career, at the very least in the top six, there are three games against the Indianapolis Colts. So I do anticipate they'll be able to move the ball more. I'm also curious that Sauce Gardner is really going to go with a calf strain after just one full practice in the last 3 weeks, after what we saw from Daniel Jones the last time these two teams played, let alone Tyrese Halliburton in the NBA Finals Game 7. I understand the Colts have their backs against the wall and a 3% chance to make the postseason, but if I was Chris Ballard and Shane Steichen and the Ursay sisters, I'd be stepping in and saying, let's protect the player from himself. That's just me. Probably not going to have Charvarius Ward, I'm assuming, either. And so to that point, that says to me, yes, the Jaguars should be able to move the ball if they continue to play the way they have the last month in particular.
Now, having said all of this about the team, if the playoffs started today, they would host the Buffalo Bills. Is that the worst case scenario for the wild card weekend?
No, because I think that the Bills defense has proven time after time that you can run on them and you can throw on them. Josh Allen certainly presents a challenge. James Cook certainly presents a challenge. But even with Jordan Lewis now on the injured reserve list for the rest of the year, I would take my chances with the Jaguars corners, maybe not household names, but I would take my chances with them going up against you and me as the wide receivers for the Buffalo Bills, because last I checked with Keon Coleman and Gabe Davis, coaches' decisions not to play. I mean, Khalil Shakir is a good player, but at the same time, he's one guy. And the tight ends have been up and down for the Bills throughout the course of the season. And the Jaguars have gotten better after that 3-touchdown performance by Brock Bowers in their first game back from the bye going up against tight ends. They must have heard me complain on every single program from ESPN Radio to Action Sports Jacks. I just kept lamenting about out in the right flat, a tight end or a wide receiver just scooted out there. Take all the room you need. They got the memo there, and they've started to shore up the short passing game from their opponents. And so, yeah, I don't think the Bills would be an awful matchup by any stretch of the imagination. And when you talk to people in the building at the Miller Electric Center, they'll tell you they do not care who they have to play. They've proven that through their 11-4 mark so far this season. They will play anyone and anywhere. Just roll the ball out.
Quickly here, like 10 seconds, the best number anywhere on Liam Cohen to win coach of the year is here at Circa. They're in five different states, 9-1. Worth a stab in your opinion?
I'd sprinkle it depending on what happens the next two games to Ben Johnson and the Bears and Mike Vrabel and the Patriots. If those two teams have a loss or two, yeah, I'd absolutely sprinkle a little bit on the head coach of the Jacksonville Jaguars.
Follow her on X at Mia O'Brien TV. Superb job as always, Mia. Again, happy belated Christmas. Have a great weekend. Thanks for the time.
Right back at you, boys. Happy New Year.
There you go. Neil O'Brien on the Progressive Guest Line, ESPN Radio in Jacksonville. Up next, win some, lose some. You won't believe what Turpin did. And also Addison. Paulie's going to share the numbers with you coming up on Follow the Money. It's VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Win Some, Lose Some is sponsored by The Sharp Plays. Were you a winner last night?
Wow, winning.
Or was it a rough one?
Well, they can't all be winners, can they?
Loser! You're a loser!
Pauly Howard recaps the night in sports betting in Win Some, Lose Some.
All right, first touchdowns on Christmas. Ferguson plus 850. Aaron Jones 7-1. Burchard Smith 80-1. I can't believe he got in there. That was a bomb.
He was 80-1. Huh?
Incredible. All teams to have a touchdown and a field goal on Christmas, 4-1. Fewest points, Lions, 14-1. How bad was that? Six turnovers. The Vikings had 51 yards passing. Won the game.
Fitting way for that team to bow out on the season.
What were they to finish in last place? And now Green Bay probably sits people. The Vikings can go over their win total and close on a five-game winning streak.
I'm well aware of this. I brought that up 3 weeks ago.
Oh, yeah. I'm going to reiterate it. It's crazy because they win again as a 7.5-point dog. Most rushing yards on the day, Bill. Kroski Merritt, 35-1. Rodriguez got sick, opened the door for Bill. He was huge. Most receiving yards. How about this? Turpin had one catch. He led everyone. I didn't even see him offered. He was 70-1 at BetMGM in just the Dallas game. Just to lead Dallas game. On all three, one catch, 85 yards. That does it. That held up.
Oh, that's got to be the first time that's ever happened.
That's nuts. It's like Addison had one carry, but had the most rushing yards in the Viking game.
Yeah, was he listed anywhere? I can't imagine.
Turpin anytime, 5-1. Tesla, 5-1 as well. Addison scores and the Vikings win, plus 950. Vikings money line, 3-1. Cowboys did it again. 15-1 over run in the first half. Every Dallas first half has gone over but one.
Well, again, that's
incredible.
Is that a record? Has any team ever gone 16-0 in the first half?
No.
I doubt it, right?
Someone went 14-2. Yeah, and it was a couple 13-3s. No turnover in the game, 10-1. Dak, 300 yards plus 175. Field goal each quarter, 6-1. It also got there in the Denver game. Both quarterbacks, 30 yards each quarter, plus 750. Spurs money line, plus 330. Brunson, 6 plus threes, 10-1. I thought the Knicks were going to cover.
Oh.
They were down 17 in the fourth quarter. They were at the line up 4.
They were getting, Cleveland was covering the entire game, winning the entire game pretty much. And that's the exact thought that I had is, my God, if you can't cover with the Cavaliers today, just stop doing whatever you're doing and don't even pay attention anymore.
Well, I love their bench. And who knew Kolek would be so good? Kolek and Clarkson and what they've done, the big additions.
Yeah.
That's awesome. Subscribe, be part of the team, VSiN.com, our radio and podcast friends. You always want to see these tweets and videos at @PaulieDoesVegas on Instagram. Send them in. We'll put you on. Luke, send this one to me if you can. This is help. Dogs helping humans out compilation. Here coming in. Look, give them the knuckle bash. That's awesome. Here, the dog's in the car. The car breaks down. They have to push it, and the dog gets out to help. The other one was the dog with the pup cup and giving up the high five. There's the dog going outside and bringing the groceries in. Look at this. It's incredible how smart they are and helping out. What's this guy doing?
He's going to grab a beer.
Yes. He's opening the fridge, grabbing a beer, giving it to the owner. Is this guy sweeping? What's this guy doing? I couldn't see what he was doing there. That's right. He was tipping the accordion. Oh, very good. Thanks, Luke. The gal gave him $1, and he gave it up to tip the guy and put it in his cap as he was playing outside. Rapid fire. These are great. I'll put these up later at Pauly Does Vegas on Instagram. You always talk about this. Be careful who you put in prime time in standalone games. The Commanders went 0-8 this year, standalone games.
Oh, yeah, I know.
8 standalone games they got. Lost them all.
I can't imagine they covered yesterday, but how many of those did they cover overall?
Another good question. Love this one. New Year's Eve. That time of year. New Year's coming, right? I love this one where the guy does it. The dog thinks that the door is open. The door is closed, but the door is open with the sliding door. And the owner has to come over and make believe. Like, it's already, come on in, buddy. You're okay. You can come on in. It's open. And you have to fake pretend like, okay, now I'm going to open it. See? Okay, now I opened it for you. Come on in. Okay, good. That gets me every single time. Oh, he doesn't know that. He can't figure that out. And number 9, chasing its own shadow. Not a poor guy. Looking up against the wall, trying to bite it. It's like with the faucet, with the mirage, where the guy's trying to drink the water. coming off the wall. Very good. And the bad beat Cavs money line up 17 in the fourth quarter, and they couldn't close it out. Before the line moves, sharp plays already there. They don't just follow the market, they help shape it. You're not going to outsmart billion-dollar books of full-time sharps on your own. With the sharp plays, you don't have to. Advanced AI, trusted insider sources, active across all sports. They deliver the serious edge bettors rely on, free reports, alerts, and market-moving insights straight to your inbox or X feed. Sharpplays.com. Trusted by pros, monitored by the books. Stay ahead of the line. Visit sharpplays.com.
Well, until we had the very good game on Christmas Eve between Hawaii and Cal, a game that went over the total, unders were pretty much the story in college football in these bowl games. Again, this the rate bowl right now between Minnesota and New Mexico. By the way, outstanding jerseys by New Mexico. Like a teal-colored jersey overall with white numbers and kind of a red trim on it. Looks fantastic.
What was that basketball movie with Will Ferrell?
Semi-pro.
It looks like those.
There you go.
Yeah.
Good call. So, again, the total was as high as 49.5, closed today around 44. There's no score right now. Under 10 minutes to play in the first quarter, the total is down to 40.5. I'll get updated numbers here, but before this drive, the teams had combined for 26 yards of offense so far. And New Mexico finally has their first down of the game. 40.5, I know it's under 41, but the way this game is trending, well, that's a beautiful hit, by the way. I like the under in the game. Now down to 39.5. Paul, you love live betting this stuff.
Yeah.
I don't know. Maybe this is going to be like a 10-7 game. That's exactly how PJ Fleck, I think, would want to play it, by the way.
Done deal. Whittingham, 5 years, Michigan. Did not see that coming.
Well was he even on the odds board anywhere?
Wow. No, I didn't see it at all. No way. It was Fish. It was Fish, DeBoer, to start out at least. Fish, DeBoer, and Dillingham.
Right.
And they were jumping around about who the favorite was.
So he signed a 5-year deal. Take a guess how old Kyle Whittingham is. I would have been way off on this. Way off.
What do you got?
He's 66.
Wow.
I would have guessed like 58.
Yeah.
60, 61 tops. He's 66, 5-year deal. I hope it works. Mm-hmm. I hope, but I'm like you. I mean, he looked like he checked out two years ago.
Yeah. I'm interested to see what Power says. It'll be good coming up.
Oh, beautiful run here by the New Mexico quarterback, by the way. All right, so they're, I think, maybe beyond midfield right now. Okay, about 8 minutes to play now in the first quarter.
46 opened the total in the Green Bay game, down to 40.
30.5 now.
30, damn, that's Willis against Huntley. It's official. The other thing, it's not a lot of hardcore analysis, but I find it hard to believe that we're going to go in Saturday night and we're going to know every single playoff team and everything will be wrapped up in a piece of cake, right? If Houston wins and the Packers win, we know all 14 playoff teams. That's it. I mean, when's the last time we didn't have any real drama week 18?
Right.
Think about that.
Yeah. What would they do then for the Sunday night game?
I don't know. I would think you'd put Denver, the Chargers, with the division on the line. You could do that. No, they'll be over if they're going with the chart. If the Houston wins, yeah,
right.
They do something for the division, or maybe something for the one seed. But they have to get creative. Don't forget, they got a Saturday doubleheader. They got to come up with two.
We have had a string of actually going into the games. They didn't all necessarily play out like where they were super dramatic, but we've had a great run of matchups going into that final Sunday night game of the season. Remember that 49ers Seahawks game that came down to the pylon, basically, or the plane of the goal line.
Yep. Last year was great.
Yeah, whoever's going to win that game is going to have 15 wins.
Well, probably San Francisco, Seattle. You could do that too if the Niners can beat the Bears. Yeah. That'd be a huge matchup.
So if that's the division, yeah.
Or you could get Tampa, Carolina for the division too. But there'll be something there, but they can get creative. But that also to think that we know all 14 playoff teams would be wild.
Was there a game... I'm trying to rack my memory now here, going back. Wasn't there a game with maybe the Rams and Sam Bradford many years ago? The division was on the line, final Sunday night of the regular season, and I think the winner was going to be like below 500 and still win the division. But that was the juiciest matchup.
Yeah, Seattle played Jesus. What was his name? Why am I blanking on his name? The quarterback looked like Jesus. Started with a C. Played for the Chargers, went to Seattle.
Yeah, tip of my tongue.
All right.
Okay, but anyway, you had that game a couple years ago where the Lions kept the Packers out of the playoffs, even though they were eliminated going into the game. Campbell wanted them to go out there and fight with pride, and they did.
Charlie Whitehurst.
Whitehurst.
Bam. Good call, Lou.
Whitehurst.
Yeah.
Okay. All right, let's follow the money here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Up next, we'll talk to one of the nine remaining Circus survivors as John Accorsi is going to join the program. He got through with the Cowboys yesterday. We'll go over what it was like on Christmas Day to watch it unfold and his best options for this weekend and then week 18. That's all coming up next.